Hello and welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Digital.
I'm Mender's Logic.
I'm Flopsy, and this is the podcast by PC Gamers for PC Gamers.
So a little bit of a change of pace on this episode. We are at my place.
Yeah.
Kind of a different venue here.
Bobby.
I know, right?
Not a single thing on the wall.
Yeah, it's so no, I need to put up some artwork. I actually do have a poster of the Boulevard of Broken Dreams. I have not put it up yet.
Actually, you can hear from the echo that there's actually not one bit of furniture. We're on milk crates right now.
We're
sitting on. And
very, very spacious. The low rumble of my computer in the background. And that's the only noise.
You guys think Bobby's rich because all the games he buys, literally the only things he goes into is his computer. So there's his computer, and then there's milk crates and this recording
box that I sit on.
Yeah.
That's how I'm able to get all his games.
He has a pile of clothes in the corner that he calls a bed.
And it's one way of living. But semi, I don't want to say big news, but we updated the website. I'm actually going to be doing a little bit more work on it, get a little bit of info up about us. Also links to our YouTube channel, Twitch, Twitter as well, too. And Emilio, you got something to say about Twitter, right?
Yeah, we had Twitter going a while ago. And I, you know, at first I tried to get some followers, but then I was like, oh, I'm not really tweeting anything, so it's not that important. But what I'm figuring out is, as I'm trying to get the word out and get other, like, some people for interviews, definitely having more followers gives you validity. Like, I had this arrangement with somebody, and I, you know, he followed me, and then I'm thinking that he's looking at how many followers I have. I have 5 followers right now, and I don't even think that includes you guys. I think the more followers you have, the more validity you will have when talking to, like, semi-famous people or people in the industry. So, you know, it's all free for you guys. So if you could just log on to Twitter and follow us, it's DL Gaming, the letters DOT net. So yeah, that would just help us out and something you could do to help our content get better.
Yeah. The Twitter feed is linked on our website, and it's also linked in the Steam group now as well. So you can find it there. But yeah, that will definitely help us out. I don't even have a personal Twitter account, but that is like the way to communicate these days, I guess. Like, companies disclose information on Twitter. Celebrities use Twitter. Like, that's just how it's done, apparently.
Yeah. The UFC guys complain a lot. Like, how'd you find out you were cut? Through Twitter, like everybody else. Like, that's how they operate over there. Dana White hires and fires through Twitter.
It is just the way people get their information these days, apparently. Yeah. So, yeah, the website, check that out, dlgaming.net, and also Twitter, dlgamingdotnet. This week, finally, I've been able to build my new computer. Been talking about it for a while. Finally happened.
Still can't say it without smiling.
I know, right?
He lights up every time.
Yeah.
Like you a check kid out, on Christmas.
It is. Well, I've been waiting for it for a long time, and this is the longest I've gone without building a computer. They say the rule of thumb is every 4 years you want to upgrade your computer. Now, that's for your average user, but for a gamer, I think it's probably 2 years.
Yeah, maybe, I would agree with
maybe
that.
Maybe even less. For me, it was about once every year I would build a new computer, but the technology has not been progressing, at least with desktops. It's kind of been going in the mobile sector more. So it was about a year and a half, almost 2 years since my last upgrade, I think. And so it was long overdue, and it finally happened.
One of the things that I like about PCs compared to a console or whatever is you don't have to treat it like a whole new purchase. Like, if there's a graphics card out there that's a significant upgrade, you can just pick up that and then do that for a while. If they come out with a new chipset or whatever, get that in the motherboard and go from there. You know, like, you don't have to put $1,000 into it every once in a while. You know, if you just put a couple new parts in every once in a while, it just updates your box.
Yeah,
and that's kind of how I approach it.
For example, from all the hand-me-downs that I'm getting from Bobby, you know, I'm not getting everything that I should. But I'm getting what I can, and then later on I'm going to grab the others.
Yeah.
Stuff, you know?
Yeah. You're getting the foundation, and that's really going to be a good start. And it's probably for the best that you don't get the SSD right away, because Samsung just came out, or actually I think on July 21st they're coming out with their 850 line, which is supposed to be faster, more reliable. It's got a 10-year warranty, uses less energy. It's better in every single way, basically.
Wow.
And the 256-gig model of the Samsung 850 series is only $30 more than the 840 series. So not that much more, and you're getting quite a bit of a performance boost and a boost in all other areas.
I thought Google was going to be our robot overlords, but it might just well be Samsung, too. They're making a ton of money over there. They're doing great products.
Yeah.
And the phones and all the little things, too, like components for computers. Everything that they make is good. TVs.
Aren't they the company that's also teaming up with Facebook?
Oculus.
Doing the Oculus stuff?
Yeah, big things happening with them. So this new computer, if you want the full specs and you want to even see a picture of it inside and out, it's on my Steam profile.
I'm going to check that out. I want to see what it looks like, and I'm standing right next to it.
Yeah.
It's loud.
It is kind of loud. The motherboard, the software I haven't installed yet to control the fans and the motherboard. Plus, I usually run my fans a little loud anyway. I upgraded the RAM to 32 gigs, running at 2,666 megahertz.
Before you jump into it, I was told a long time ago that if you put too much RAM, it can be detrimental. Is that kind of gone the way of Dodo now? Is that...
No. Well, the problem with memory, at least in the past, was Windows would only recognize a certain amount. And you have to have a 64-bit operating system to be able to recognize more than 4 gigs of RAM. So if you had Windows 32-bit, you aren't going to be able to use more than 4 gigs, and also they lose some of that to the device addressing, so you're getting 3.5. But if you have a 64-bit operating system, then yeah, you can put as much as you want in there. However, that's really only going to improve running multiple programs at once. I do run like virtual machines on my computer, so it helps a lot with that, but as far as gaming goes, you don't need anything more than 4 gigs, really. I think they say after 4 gigs, and even 4 gigs at maybe 1333 megahertz, it doesn't even need to be very fast. Like, that's really where you top out. Anything more than that, because games are single-threaded applications. It's not a whole lot of things going on at once. So, it's not crucial. I kind of have the RAM for other reasons, and I figure I'll just upgrade now, and I won't need to worry about it later.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so the RAM got upgraded, got the new motherboard with the Z97 chipset, and also...
What was this chipset called? What was the chip...
Z97.
No, I mean the actual chip, the new series of
Haswell, was it?
Oh, well, for the processor?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is a Haswell processor. It's the 4790K. They call it the Devil's Canyon.
Of course they do.
Yeah. They always got names for the architecture. Like maybe 10 years ago, I remember I had a AMD FX55, and that one was codenamed San Diego. I thought that was cool. But the 4790K is overclockable. I did try to overclock it a bit. Got it up to 4.6 with modest overclock. Not a lot of headroom on this.
Got another question for you. If you're overclocking, you should be installing secondary programs to monitor heat and all, correct? Is that if I was overclocking?
Yeah, absolutely. You got to monitor heat for your ambient temperature inside the case and also, more importantly, the actual heat on the processor. But motherboards come with software that will do that for you.
Okay. Because, that's the greatest threat with overclocking is the heat increase, right?
You run it too hot and it can do some damage. And usually it's not right away, but over long periods of time, just running these really hot is going to cause problems.
What are you doing that would be pushing your processor to, overheat and stuff?
Not gaming, really. That's not really intensive on the CPU. It's mostly going to be video editing and encoding, which I do a lot of as well. And that's really where the performance boost is, because as far as gaming goes, there was only maybe a 5 or 6% increase in gaming. When I ran 3D Mark, there was minimal gains for performance gaming-wise, but really without changing the video card, that's kind of what I would expect.
Yeah.
This will be a lot better. I ran a program called Handbrake, which encodes videos, and I did notice it was a lot faster at that. Eventually, one of these days, when NVIDIA comes out with their new series of graphics cards, I will upgrade to that, and I'll probably see a bigger boost in performance for games. But right now, I've laid the foundation for that.
So you think you'll be good for another 4 years with this as soon as you get the graphics
card? And there are parts that in my computer that I've been using for a long time. My power supply, for instance, it's a Corsair 1200-watt that thing I spent a lot of money on, and I knew like when I got it, I was not going to need to replace that for a very long time. Mm. I got it originally. I mean, 1200 watts is a lot. That's twice as much as I need for this, maybe.
Yeah, because normally like you get 550, 600 maybe.
Yeah, but I was planning on running SLI, like two video cards. Gotcha. I always say I'm going to do that, and I never end up doing it. just because it's a lot of money, and it the performance boost isn't super big.
Yeah, you end up getting, 25% more out of getting a whole other card?
Yeah.
About that.
And for another GTX 690, I'm looking at another $600-$700 on eBay. So not worth it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But that power supply has just been solid. Also, the memory that Emilio will be getting eventually here, I've had that for quite a while. And that has been some of the best memory I've ever had.
What one is that?
It's 16 gigs. It's G-Skill. I think it runs at 2400 megahertz. No, 2133 megahertz.
I need new memory. Mine is fucked.
Everything about your rig is fucked. I'm picturing Han Solo trying to fly that thing while Chewie's in the back trying to fix it while you're trying to get into hyperspace.
You got
to
punch it and the lights come back on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I'm excited, actually, to see. I'm more excited over Emilio's upgrade than I am mine, because that's where we're going to see some major improvements.
He called my gaming situation dire.
Dire.
Exactly.
I had to explain to someone what dire meant, but...
It wasn't working for a while. It then suddenly magically started working again.
I took the side panel off, and I guess it's getting enough air now.
Just put the fan next to it. And
yeah.
There you go.
Wow.
The ghetto cooling solution.
But you run your machines hard.
Well, I think we all put our machines through a hell of a lot. You know, it's amazing that they survived this long.
Yeah.
But the best thing about this upgrade for me was finally, after over a year, May 21st, 2013 was the last time that I had updated drivers until now for my graphics card.
Why is that?
That is a very complicated issue with my motherboard.
Yeah, you were having an issue that you couldn't
And I got my motherboard boxed and ready to go. I just got to do the eBay post for it. But I think I'm going to sell it parts only, or just like clearly state that this motherboard has issues. And I think it's due to overclocking. It has USB issues, and it also has issues with the onboard video display. Yeah, this is the first time in forever that I've had current drivers, and it is amazing. I don't think people realize how important it is to have updated drivers. Like, that makes such a difference. I'm running games now that run smoother and look way better than they ever did. Like, Assassin's Creed 4 does not hang up at all on anything. It looks way better. I don't get that weird glitch where there's, like, people's eyes glow random colors. Check my Steam account for the screenshots to see what I'm talking about. That game runs so much better, and so many other games just work so much better.
Cool.
And a big part of this as well was the GeForce Experience, which is kind of NVIDIA's software suite that comes with their drivers.
Yeah, I use that every once in a while.
Oh, you have an NVIDIA card.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And you got an NVIDIA card too, Emilio.
So you haven't been using that?
Oh, no, I haven't been able to. Well, I haven't been able to use a lot of the features because my drivers are so old.
Gotcha.
But they do several things. First of all, they manage your drivers. They let you know when you got an update, which is great. Well, I just said how important drivers were.
Yeah, it does it all automatically these days. They don't even tell you the day of. It'll be like, hey, this game that you have, there's a new driver thing for it, so go grab it. Or we'll grab it for you.
And
it's awesome.
With games coming out, like, you have to, like, even when games come out, they have driver updates specifically for that game.
Yeah.
But, yeah, GeForce manages that for you. And then on top of that, they've got a game section where it scans your computer, finds games, automatically assigns the best settings for those games based on your graphics card.
It's pretty sweet.
That's cool.
So it does the work for you. Although I've noticed, like, I'd go into every game and turn everything all the way up. And it doesn't do that for everything. Even though I've got the 690, it optimizes it, but it doesn't turn them all the way up. It turns it to whatever it thinks is the best settings that my computer can handle.
Hmm.
But maybe there's an overall, like, sliding bar where you could be like, you know, performance over
my machine kicks ass.
Yeah, just turn it all up, man.
Turn it all up.
1920 by 1080, just anti-aliasing all the way up, just all maxed out.
I literally never touched that bar, that anti-aliasing bar.
Emilio's never seen shadows in any games. That's how low its settings are.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's important when you're playing games to view it correctly, you know, with all the bells and whistles. That way you can have, like, a really good opinion on the game And I think that makes a difference, because if you play a game and like you got everything kind of turned down, then you're not getting the full experience.
How bad was my Skyrim tearing when I
Oh, God, that was pretty bad.
Yeah. It was like you're playing on a really laggy server or something.
You know what, though? There are some people that will sit in front of a screen, see massive tearing, and not even notice it, just because they are not accustomed to seeing that stuff. Like, they don't... Like, to me, if I see any tearing, I'm just like, nope, can't deal with it at all. Something's got to be done.
Yeah, that annoys... tearing is my most annoying thing. That and frame rate loss. Any frame rate loss, I'm over it.
Yeah, that's why I'm excited about G-Sync.
But I don't need, like, 60 frames and everybody's... You know, like, give me some consistent frames and, whatever it is, just I'll be happy with it.
Now, my favorite part about the GeForce experience has got to be NVIDIA Shadow Play. And I was really hoping to try this out. Was disappointed that I couldn't because of the driver issue. But finally got a chance to do it. This is probably the best solution I've seen for streaming and capturing video while you're playing. And it uses the graphics card for this. So there's no impact on your CPU or memory. Minimal impact. I had all the monitoring software up while I was capturing footage from Full Mojo Rampage, Assassin's Creed 4, Battlefield 4. I'm recording these games at 1080p, 60 frames a second, 50 megabits a second, which is the highest bitrate I've ever seen on any recording software. Even my Elgato only recorded at 30 megabits a second. But extremely high bitrate, extremely high resolution and frame rate, and about 300 megs for every minute, which is a pretty decent size.
As opposed to what was the, like, the other stuff we were using? It was like a gig per minute or something?
Oh, DxTory. Yeah, that records in very uncompressed video.
And you're saying you're using this to stream straight to Twitch?
I can use this to stream straight to Twitch. And it works fairly well at doing that, too. I've noticed, because, again, it puts the load on the graphics card. So games that I had stuttering issues with using OBS, like Team Fortress 2 and Smite, no issue whatsoever.
So you'll start playing Smite again.
About that. Let's not get crazy.
That was the one thing holding them up from playing Smite again. Was the streaming.
But it does work a lot better at streaming, although the options are limited. It can record your microphone input, but you can't adjust the microphone input level, and you can't really crop or move around the webcam. You can put it in each corner, but that's about it.
So as far as the streaming itself, it's probably the best on the market, but all the bells and whistles aren't there yet.
Yeah, but this is still in beta. So
it's free,
I'm sure.
Right?
Oh yeah, and it's free. You have to have an NVIDIA card though,
right.
And you have to have a fairly new NVIDIA card, and you have to have updated drivers. So there are some rules to this, but if this is something people probably have and don't even realize it.
Yeah, I'm gonna try this out.
Yeah, you should definitely give it a shot, because I was thoroughly impressed. There are random issues that I have with it, like sometimes it just puts a red X through it and says, no, can't stream or can't record, and I'm not even sure why. And then I turn it off, turn it on, and it works for no apparent reason. So,
as betas do.
Yeah, so it's beta. There's weird little things to it. You know, they got some stuff to work out. But again, this is the best solution I've seen for recording gameplay and streaming so far as just performance goes. So I'm super excited about that. And an awesome thing about this, which I actively use all the time now, is the actual Shadow Play feature. You can just hit a hotkey and it captures the last 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes of gameplay.
Even if you weren't actively recording.
Yeah, it's like a
DVR
feature.
That's so awesome.
Because a lot of times you're playing a game and something cool happens, you're like, oh, that was sweet.
That's
I got to get
awesome.
That.
So you could just hit like an F key.
Mm-hmm.
That is awesome.
I think the default is Alt F10 or something like that. And yeah, it just captures, boom, just
so
like that.
Hunting for some pentakills.
Yeah.
And good luck with that.
Again, no impact, not even noticeable impact on the graphics card. I could not believe how well this was performing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So cool shit, man.
Want to get into some games?
Yeah. I'm going to stop rambling here. Why doesn't someone talk about
some games? It was me last week with the Oculus and now you with the, but that Shadow Play sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Just the hotkey being involved, that's I didn't even know that was coming down the pipe, you know? So probably what I played the most, I put 10 hours into Wasteland 2. I was all fired up about it, because after reading the description, and it was a crowdfunded game, and it had a very huge cult following. And it's the, spiritual prequel to the Fallout series. which is my favorite series. So I was all fired up about this. Plus, I had never seen it on sale. It's an early access game. And it is, you shouldn't buy it unless you're ready to, you just shouldn't buy it. Wait till it all comes out. And even then, there's probably better options you can have. There's better options as far as tactical RPGs. Like XCOM is a polished, super polished version. It's lower on the RPG part. This is more exploring and stuff. And the voice acting's pretty good, but it seems like one dude did all the guy voices, even though he did a pretty good job. It has its spots.
Didn't you say it was like Final Fantasy style, where you're running around and it's like you hit an encounter and...
Yeah, you can, when you're moving through the world on the map, you're just represented by a symbol. And you're walking to the next place where you need to go. And randomly, you'll find the oases where you need to refill your water. Or you'll find, like, at an encounter, like, some guys will attack you. Which doesn't happen a lot. It's not annoying. It's just so buggy. There's a bunch of little bugs. A ton of bugs. It's not an enjoyable experience yet. The character creation part, that was pretty cool. It's pretty in-depth. It judges your assault rifles as valuable as your smart-ass comet ability. You spend the same skill points for those as you would for the other one. So, you know, it's got to be kind of important. I had Chad make his own dude. I called Bobby to make his dude. He didn't answer, so he's kind of... Bobby is...
You created the biggest puss.
Yeah, Bobby's character...
dies. Are you telling me?
He's so bad. Not that he just died. He would never even do damage before he went down. That said, he's very good at, like, hacking and, like,
smart-ass comments.
And smart-ass comments, yeah.
What benefit is there to smart-ass comments?
Like, so, like, when people are talking to you, you have to actually pay attention to what they're saying in text or in speech. Some things will be highlighted, and if you actually type a response in the right way, it'll activate certain things. And the higher your... you could be intimidating, which is like badass, mm-hmm. or you could be kiss-ass, or you could be smart-ass. And all of those have different plot ways that you could go down. But this all sounds very sophisticated, but it didn't play out the way... You know, this is early access. So I'm getting to the point where I don't know if I want to buy any more early access games.
So,
yeah, it's discouraging.
Is the issue with the game for you that the game isn't good, or is it early access?
It's just buggy. It's really buggy.
But
potential. There's definitely potential, and there's going to have to be a graphics overhaul as well. Like, it doesn't look very good either. The whole time I was playing it, I was like, man, Shadowrun sounds so much better. Because Chad's really enjoying it, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I almost for a minute considered going straight into Dragonfall after...
I talked about Shadowrun last week, didn't I?
No.
No. I talked about Shadowrun. You started playing it this week, so we're going to get into that.
But... Yeah, yeah. Let me tell you a little bit about that when we're done with Wasteland.
So basically, stay away from it, I would say. And another thing, like, I know that naturally you always think, like, oh, fuck. Like, I always miss 82% shot. No, this game, it seems to be backwards. The high percentage stuff never hits, and the low percentage stuff hits. And I know it's not failure rate that it's showing. It's just ridiculous. So there's a bunch of that stuff. There is potential, whereas, like, you can do more things that are realistic. Like, when you look around the area, it gives you actual descriptions of the things you're around, even though they're just boxes. You get a different description. So, but as far as the way it looks, and yeah, just stay away from it. If it gets any better, I'll let you guys know.
Are you going to continue playing it as it matures?
No, I'm going to wait for it to have some major updates.
Is there any multiplayer to this game?
No.
It's completely single player.
Yeah. So it's kind of like Project Zomboid, where I went back and I was pleasantly surprised that there was graphics overhaul and a bunch of bugs were taken out and, like, multiplayer was instituted correctly. I'm like, oh, wow, this is really nice. And I already own it, so I don't have to pay for it again. So I hope the same thing happens with Wasteland. I might just uninstall for now.
Yeah.
Alpha Access.
Plus, I get rid of Bobby's asshole. Oh, you're a badass, of course. This is like you were in XCOM. And it's so unlike you, too. You're the rootin', tootin', shootin' motherfucker.
That's me. Yeah. To a T right there.
It's like opposite day in that game.
Yeah.
But early access and this whole alpha business is just... You see these games at their worst. And you go in, you play them, you kind of get a bad taste in your mouth, and then you don't really want to play them anymore. And then I don't know if you... It takes a lot for me to actually go back to a game.
Yeah.
So I feel like these early access things kind of discredit it sometimes. I mean, I understand like why they exist.
At the same time, you know, I like supporting the developer and something, mm-hmm. but it almost seems to the point where you have to be really, really, really into the development process to get in super early.
Yeah.
I think with my background that I don't mind this early access stuff because I've seen games in, during the development cycle so much.
What have you played?
What do you mean for early access
stuff? Yeah, on PC. Just Rust, right?
No, like Starbound.
Oh, that's right.
Stomping Ground or Stomping Land.
Which you played once. But yeah, but I was going to say Rust and Starbound are probably the most playable of all of these.
Yeah.
Well, and the Zomboid's getting there as well.
You know, it's like these games wouldn't exist if it wasn't for the early access model. So it's you can't complain that much. But
right. It might be a thing where you buy into their early access and just wait for the full release. You get it at that cheap price.
Well, Wasteland 2 is fairly expensive. It's like $60 right now,
yeah, it's
now,
really
right?
expensive.
You got it, what, 40?
Yeah, but still, it wasn't... I could have bought so many little games for that, you know?
Yeah. It's either you get into the early access or you continue to crave playing that game and hearing other stuff about it. Like, in a traditional method, that's what you do. At least now you got to play it. You got to see it, so now you can temper your expectations. If you come back a year from now and it's better than it was, you'll be pleasantly surprised, you know?
Yeah. I guess what I'm saying is now at this point, I'm pretty sure I'm going to just wait from now on, knowing that, you know, you go in. But I had a really good time with Rust. I mean, we played the shit out of Rust.
Yeah.
You know, they mark reviews in Steam for as early access reviews. So when you're reading them, you can tell like, oh, okay, game's in early access. You know, take it with a grain of salt. This may not be accurate. They may have patched or updated something. It could be a different experience than when this person actually played it. But, you know, the games were always being developed, but now we have the ability to play them as they're being developed. So for us, it looks different, like, oh, this game's out, I can play it. But really what's happening is like, no, the game's half finished. You know, there's been half finished games before. They just weren't released to people.
Well, they used to treat them like betas where you get to play it for a weekend and then they shut it down for another 3 months.
Some people are doing that.
Now, like, you can just play it constantly. The fixes kind of just trickle in, so you don't get to see that big update.
For sure.
But when you're playing it constantly, it seems like the updates come so slow.
So slow,
if you go away for a while and then come back, it'll seem like a new game.
Speaking of which, Evolve's Alpha is going to be... There's a sign-up. We put it on the Steam group, so you just click on that and you can go sign up. It sounds like it's going to be fairly new, but this is going to go up tomorrow, so I'd get on it as soon as possible.
Yeah, we posted in the Steam group, and I'm sure the sign-up will still be up there. You got to take a little survey. Password is like hunting, happy hunting.
Happy hunting, yeah.
But you take a little survey about your PC specs. They did not have an option for 32 gigs of RAM on the...
He's smiling again, folks.
Yeah. It only went up to 16. I felt like leaving a note. Like,
has a horrible poker face on it.
After you just explained how we didn't need more than 4, wanted to put 32 down there. So I guess since we're talking about these isometric RPG-style games, I guess I'll talk a little bit about Shadowrun. I know Bobby talked about it during the Steam sale.
But it seems like you guys always bring up different things, which is good.
Well, I guess he and I play much differently. I decided to go with the Shaman because I'm an idiot.
How was the Shaman?
Well, if you've got a bunch of skill of attributes and one of them's charisma, you don't want to pick the class that uses that as the primary skill. You just like charisma is just not. Although they did something cool, and I don't know if this is a Shadowrun thing or if this is specific for the game. You know, you built up enough charisma points, and you could pick an etiquette, which I thought was a cool idea. And they had, like, I don't know, 8 or 9 different etiquettes. So, like, Shadowrunner or Socialite or Gang or Street were all these etiquettes. And so if you select, like... one
personality?
One of them was Security. Uh-huh. Like, if you knew that lingo and that speak and can pull yourself off as one of those. So if I ever talked to somebody in Security, I would have a Security option that would kind of help me through the conversation. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a really cool use of charisma in a very like concrete sense. It wasn't like, hey, you can get kind of do yourself better while talking to people. This actually said, okay, I'm going to talk to Security. I have an option. So I thought that was cool. But so I picked this shaman as my main character, and shamans don't really do anything. They like, you know, you can make a fog or make a guy sneak better, and I was just not getting anything, so I was putting all my points into like shotguns and stuff, and this guy just ended up being like a runner and gunner sort of guy.
Hmm.
But I love the world, the concept of the world with the future, with the magic and the different different races. I just really like the
shaman. Talking about like it's a nerd's paradise.
Yeah, I really like the world.
What race did you go with for your character?
I went with the strongest charisma race was elf, so I went with a female elf, which I don't think the game was really designed for you to play as a female.
There always seems to be less options.
Well, just because like the conversation,
dialogue is male-centric.
Yes, but I played her off as a lesbian, and it worked out fine.
She's a butch. She's a butch elf.
But the game is done as if you're playing a tabletop game. So when you get to a new area, you've got like two paragraphs of dialogue describing what it's like.
Like a novel almost.
It's almost like you've got a DM in front of you telling you kind of what's going on. Which I kind of liked. It added more to the atmosphere because the graphics aren't like amazing. You're not like seeing sparkles off everything and everything like that. So
Wasteland had that going for it as well.
Yeah. But you're right, Bobby. Everything's easy. You're going along. Mm-hmm. You don't die. And then you hit this fucking encounter with like, they just keep throwing guys at you. Like, I played it like four or five times and couldn't get through it. Like, I don't know what to do at this point. You can't change your layout. You can't.
Can you go back and XP at lower level things?
Maybe. You can't, like, really XP up too much. There's not, like, just random encounters.
You can't go farm
it's
XP.
More start. Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's all, like, it's all mission-based, very linear. So you can't, like, go back and do other things.
I heard in Dragonfall they kind of expanded a little bit more on that, and it's not as linear, because that was a complaint about Shadowrun.
Right.
So I think they did improve that a bit. But,
what you're saying is you're going to have to start from scratch.
I tried it like four or five times and couldn't get through it. I'm going to talk to Bobby at some point and say, how the hell did you get through it? And maybe he has some more suggestions for me. But it's literally like the biggest encounter prior to this was maybe six guys that come at you. So maybe it's 3-on-6. And this has at least 15 enemies that they just throw at you.
It didn't ramp up
very
well.
It wasn't a ramp. It was a wall. Like, it literally threw a wall at you.
Bobby's first...
And you got the same thing, right, Bobby? I'm not making this up, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember what I did at that point, but of course my character was completely different than yours.
I was going to say Bobby's first thing for you is going to say, don't pick shaman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shaman's terrible. Like, one of my things could be give you an extra action point. Like, what do you freaking do? Like,
well, I noticed in that game, like, I tried to have my character be the one-stop shop, you know, just like, he can do everything. He can run and gun, he can heal, but you can't really play it like that. You have to play your character to his strengths and then round out your team with other characters that you bring on.
Yeah.
I noticed that was a lot more of a benefit.
But you can't really round your team out. That's the other thing. Most of the encounters have set guys. There was only like three or four missions that you could actually pick from your...
Well, if you talk to a guy, you have access to, like, an elite troop.
Yeah, exactly.
Talk to him. But
there was a couple of missions like that. But, like, the one I'm stuck on, you can't pull in guys. It's just the two guys there in the graveyard with you.
So funny. Last week, you flew through Game Through at DevCat Tycoon, and he had issues. And now this time, he flew through that game.
But I love the game. Well worth $4. Fun. The world's awesome. Gameplay is cool. It's very much like XCOM in the play style.
Mm-hmm.
Did you pick up Dragonfall?
I did not pick up Dragonfall.
I'm sure by the time you're done with this, I mean, it'll go on sale again.
I mean, Dragonfall, that's a lot more game right there. I mean, that's, like we said last week, 24 more hours of gameplay. So
much.
Which sounds cool, because I really did get caught up in the story and with the characters and with the world, so...
Oh, yeah, and the story is a lot of fun, because it's... It's like a crime
mystery.
Novel.
Yeah.
Like, you're trying to solve a crime. And, you know, I read that kind of novels all the time. So, like, that was really in my wheelhouse, and I was really digging it.
Yeah.
So, I was also... I also played all the way through... I won't bring up... Well, I played through Blackwell Legacy. It was 49 cents. It was fun. It was, like, a third of the game, I thought. Like, did you play through Blackwell Legacy?
I have not, but there's several Blackwell Legacies.
Okay, this is the very first one.
Okay.
And
what do you expect for 49 cents?
No, and
a tenth of a game for that.
I had fun, but it's just like, okay, I figured out what I'm supposed to do, and then the credits roll. Like, that's how I felt. Like, okay, here, okay, I figured out this
it's
is
like
the
a drug
premise.
Dealer. The first one's 49 cents.
Okay, I get the premise and roll credits, and you're like, okay, what, whatever. So, but anyways, that game's like 10 years old, so I'm moving on. Broken Age, it was the other point and click I played. Bobby, you really like this game. I wasn't thrilled with it, honestly. I don't think I could really recommend it. It was decent as a point and click adventure, but the story just seems really disjointed right now. I don't know. Maybe this is just because it's part one.
It's chapter one out of two. Yeah. Yeah, I kind of liked how they tied it in.
Did you play the guy first or the girl first?
I played the guy first.
Okay, so did I.
Yeah, I think everybody did.
It's kind of like Kill Bill. Kill Bill 1 wasn't that good until Kill Bill 2 came out. I always felt because it tied everything all up together.
Well, the second chapter is going to make a break again.
It basically punched the player in the cock at the very end. Like, it just... Cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Well, then there you go.
Wait for 2 years for the next one.
Is
so
it 2 years?
I don't know. When did this one come out? Like
this one came
six
out
months ago, right?
In January, and they said the second episode was going to come out in April.
How do you keep track of this shit?
How do you guys not remember this shit?
A lot of good times.
I don't know.
I think there was good times at some point in my life.
You got to upgrade your memory, bro.
Yeah. Seriously. I tell him he would lose his dick if it wasn't attached to his body. Seriously, like that's how. That's
I might rip it off at this point.
That's as bad as memory is. Where's my dick again? Fuck! I thought I had it somewhere. Okay. Anyways, so there was not a really challenge in Broken Age. There was no like, how do I figure this puzzle out? It's more like an interactive story. Like you go through, and you just watch the story, and the story didn't really hook me. So. I don't really have a whole lot.
It does one thing, and the one thing you didn't appreciate, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, GFGF, Games for Girlfriends.
Yeah.
Is that a thing? Can we make that a thing? No?
Okay. We didn't make DL or no DL a thing. I don't think GFGF is going to work.
The other thing I played, I finally finished Wolfenstein. It wasn't a thing that I was having a hard time with it, even though I did play it on hard, except for the time. One time that Chad walks in the room, I died like six times in a row. I couldn't get past this one part.
You're going to spoil this all, so we should probably mention that spoilers may be coming up for this. So.
Yeah, well,
I wasn't going to mention any spoilers.
I was.
Okay, well, that's fine. I just wanted to get it out in front that there might be
spoilers.
Skip
ahead
coming.
10 minutes if you don't want Wolfenstein spoiled for you.
Yeah.
This is not a spoiler, but man, what a fucked up premise of being on a fucked up bridge, you know, and you got to traverse across it.
I love that.
But God, they did it so well, dude. Like, I felt like a sense of, like, whoa, I'm way up high and I cannot fall here. And other games, you know, you're just like, oh, whatever, the fucking fucked up.
I got that so bad in Prince of Persia. Remember when they did the remake of Prince of Persia?
Yeah.
Did you ever
play really colorful one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, there was that sense of vertigo. You're like looking down and you're like, holy shit, I'm going to fall.
I never get this. And this game, I was like,
wow.
And
dude,
I fell
a
lot.
Yeah, that was awesome level design. I forgot about that level, but that was my favorite level out of the whole one. I mean, even more than the moon base where you're killing Nazis in space. But
I saw a little bit of that. That was cool. Yeah,
the outdoor part of the moon base.
Super short.
Gorgeous. Yeah. Super short. Yeah.
Should have made that longer.
And very atmospheric.
It was silent too, right? You were trying to be silent when you were killing the robots.
Oh, yeah. We couldn't hear anything.
Yeah. I pulled out my silencer. Yeah. And I killed the robots, and I was like, oh, shit, I could use whatever gun I want, because it's all silent. Nothing can hear you scream in space. Or something like that.
But, God, that train... I mean, you drop this gnarly bomb on a train, and it just twists up the whole bridge and causes a huge wreck, and then you've got to traverse this wreck, and there's parts where you're vertical, parts where you're horizontal. Yep. Yeah, that was just such a good level, man.
That
really
BJ,
good level design.
He's the man, right?
He's pretty manly, dude.
Yeah.
You going to talk about the ending at all?
Yeah, let's spoil this shit. So, BJ Blazkowicz dies at the end. You defeat the evil scientist that killed your buddy, and he's pretty messed up, and he calls in an airstrike, and he's too injured to get off the fortress. So, he calls in the airstrike on himself, blows himself up, credits roll. And then you hear a helicopter. There's a distinct sound of a helicopter at the very end. And I think they put that in there on purpose to signal a sequel. It's got to be that.
Was that at the end of the credits? Like after watching all the designers and all that? Mm-hmm. I didn't sit through it all.
if this world is involved with mech stuff, maybe they're doing like cyborg. Maybe.
Yeah. See, that's my theory.
Well,
see,
one of his buddy's brains was put into a robot during the thing. So, yeah, they could have done it with him, I suppose.
Yeah, right after you fight the scientist puts his buddy's brain inside a like Nazi death machine, and you have to fight that. So I'm thinking Wolfenstein 2, they come back to the fortress, they find B.J. Blazkowicz's head, they take his brain out, they put it in a repurposed Nazi death machine, and then that's who you play as.
I'm so happy right now.
I know.
No, that sounds cool.
He's taking his pants off.
Did you have trouble with these scientists, by the way?
It took me a minute. I was actually on the stream talking to a friend of mine, so we kind of like figured it out together, like what to do.
What was there to figure out for you? Like, what do you figure out that you were like?
Oh, you had to shoot the blimps, and you had to use
not the blimps. Once you go downstairs, though, the phase two of him.
Oh, that part was just you had to blow him up.
Yeah, it was super hard.
Yeah, that part was pretty tough. Yeah. And they had pretty good boss fights in that game, like with the big giant robot where you had to crawl through the tunnels.
Super
pretty
cool.
Decent boss fights.
How
for
about
a first person
the
shooter.
One dude with the shotgun in the submarine that killed Amelia like 8 times while I was
like,
watching
it was
him?
So hard,
which
man.
Guy was this? Was this a
just a regular armored shotgun dude? But like in close quarters, they're like invincible. I had a really hard time with that.
Wow.
Because it took Amelia down like a boss, I'll tell you that much.
It's a shotgun.
Here's another theory. Maybe they just wanted to get rid of B.J. Blazkowicz because they realized that name should have died in the 80s. And so maybe they're killing off the main character so they can do Wolfenstein 2 and bring in some
it's possible.
Hot chick as the main character.
Because the reason I made the comparison between this game and RoboCop many episodes ago was because in both cases, the bad guys have already won. The Nazis have already won the war. Even though B.J. Blazkowicz kills the scientist, destroys the fortress, the Nazis still control the world. So there's plenty of places to go here. You know, they could do a sequel easily, but, you know, what are they going to do
well,
with
that
it?
Crippled chick is all superpowered now, so.
Like I said, the chick is the main character.
Yeah. But I don't know. You it's think they her. Could pull that off? Because B.J. Blazkowicz is the face of Wolfenstein.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if it'd work. I'm thinking Nazi death machine B.J. Blazkowicz comes back and fuck shit up, because he was kind of like a death machine in the first one. I mean, he just dual wields weapons just like it's nothing. He's just got two M60s and he's just rattling them off like it's no thing. You know, it's like he's already pretty much like some sort of panzer, but I don't know. So that's my theory on that.
Cool.
Hopefully. Sounds good.
Well, now you ruined it for me, but I'm still going to go and try to play it, I think.
Even with that bridge section, not even with, but further, it's like Half-Life 2, but everything's been perfected. We've seen all this shit. Fighting the giant and you have to go through the tunnels. We've seen all this shit before, but it's done perfectly. The only thing was the melee combat was the only thing that didn't make this perfect game for
me. And on the melee combat, you could take enemies down with one hit by throwing a knife at them. But the funny thing was, it didn't matter where you hit them with the knife. You could hit them in like the back of their leg, and they just drop dead from a knife in the back of the leg. That was kind of weird, but small things. Otherwise, a great game.
Yeah.
How about you, Bobby? What you been playing?
I have been playing a lot of Full Mojo Rampage. Really liking that game. Beat it on normal. Continuing to play it. Probably going to go for the hardcore and annoying and whatever other difficulties they have. They have daily quests on there. Cool. You guys should get back into that.
Okay.
Not too much to say on it. You know, we talked last week about how the levels look kind of drab, but there are levels with lava and flaming skulls constantly raining from the sky. There's ones that are on kind of like, it looks like a ghost ship or something. So they did kind of mix up the background a bit, which was cool.
Bobby, are you going to take a look at the next Guacamelee that's coming out?
Oh, yeah. I'll check it out.
Yeah. I mean, because it's a new edition, but it's not. They're not even calling it an expansion pack.
Golden was the gold edition. Well, I don't know why they called it that. It's not like you could buy any.
This one is
the
Super Extreme Turbo Remix Championship Edition.
But I don't know if there's going to be anything too new. Maybe just more levels. But there's a Steam Workshop, so people made like all sorts of cool shit for that.
Yeah, it was on sale for Canada Day. There's a few other games. But that's past now anyway.
Yeah, it's definitely something I'll check out because I really enjoyed the first Guacamelee.
Why are you liking Full Mojo so much? Is there any?
Well, it's got like all the right aspects to it. It's got the twin stick shooter thing's kind of cool. Like I enjoy that. It's got the whole thing like Rogue Legacy does, where you go through a level, you play, even if you die, you still get all your gold that you can spend on upgrades, and you also get experience. So you're constantly leveling up your character and getting a little bit further. The boss fights are a lot of fun, too. At the end of each level, you fight a boss, and sometimes there's mini bosses as well, and I really enjoy that. You can play these games casually, too, even though you can play them like aggressively and really try to like power through the levels. You can also just go in like, hey, I'm just going to make some gold, you know, maybe get an upgrade.
Okay.
Been liking that a lot, but also I've checked out Gary's Mod. A little late on this one, but...
Only like, what, 10
so
years?
I had the very first version way, way back. I wonder if that one's still good for the current version. Like,
oh, it's got to be.
It's got to be, right?
Yeah.
I have Gary's Mod for some reason.
You probably bought the orange box.
I don't know if it was included in the orange box.
I didn't buy the orange box.
Yeah. Who knows, man? Who knows where it came from? Gary's Mod is like everywhere, though. It's a game that everybody has, it seems. But it was a game that I never really got before, so I thought I'd try it out. I had a friend of mine who was really into it. We got in, played a few things. He kind of showed me the ropes. Up until
did you call him a friend or a deity?
Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shout out. But I had only played sandbox mode up until now. That is just not even the beginning of that game. Hmm. I think I had
wait. How many hours does Jesus have in on this game?
Over 500, I believe.
Okay, so he's a
played
little
bit
experienced.
Yeah,
at this
he knows what he's doing. There's so many other modes in this game. There's one called Death Run, where it's like a death maze that you run through. And as you're going through this maze, there's people on the other side of this glass that you can't see, and they're hitting switches to try to activate traps to kill you.
These are players?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's and these are all modes that people have made up. There's also lots of role-playing modes, RP servers, and just a lot of different things. But the ones that I enjoy the most was Death Run, Trouble in Terrorist Town, where it's super complicated to explain this. This took me a while to get. But basically, there's a bunch of people in a map. At the beginning of the round, some of them get assigned as traitors, and they have to secretly kill the innocent people. They have to, when no one's looking, stab them in the back, shoot them, and then the innocent
people are players as well?
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's players. Okay, no NPCs in this.
No NPCs.
Okay.
So the innocent players have to try to figure out who the traitors are, and they can't make a move until they see something go down. Like they saw some guy get stabbed in the back, and so, okay, that guy's a traitor, and then they can fire on him. And then there's also a detective that can analyze bodies and determine who is the traitor. I never got to play the detective.
That is pretty cool.
It is. It's like playing the spy in Team Fortress 2. Yeah. It's a lot of mind games.
And all these games are player made.
Oh, yeah. Just got in the sandbox and just made these levels and created these game types. Yeah.
Speaking of the spy at TF2, one of the best videos I ever saw was this guy put a picture of some tits. He sprayed them up on the wall. And as players would come and just... they'd all stop because it was a really hot chick. He was invisible right behind them on a thing. He just made a video of him backstabbing so many dudes looking at tits. It was awesome.
That's hilarious. Now the spy. I used to like playing spy a lot in Team Fortress Classic. Not so much Team Fortress 2, though. Because in TFC, you used to be able to feign death.
Feign death, yeah.
So I'd go up. I always played 2-Fort. I'd go up into the sniper area, just pretend I was dead. And the trick was to feign death and not look side to side, because then you just saw this rotating corpse, and people were like, wait a minute, that's fishy.
Yeah.
But you just lay in wait, and then someone would come along, and you just pop back up, stab.
Did you ever try the Dead Ringer in TF2?
I did, but I didn't really like it.
Yeah, it's...
you just go for headshots,
useful.
Right?
Yeah. No. Dead Ringer is... you hold out your watch, and if you get hit, you feign death. But it's like TFC, where you push a button, and you can do it whenever you want. Because TFC, you saw somebody coming, you could just fall on the floor, and they'll walk by you. This one, they actually have to hit you. So what you do is, you get dressed as one of your teammates that isn't a spy, so say a pyro, you run in, you get hit, your body falls, you actually go invisible, and you run around, then you kill somebody, and then you get dressed as who you kill. Huh. There's a lot of shit going on there. But if you get it going, you can just rape their whole team.
Yeah, there's a lot of things with Spy that you can really get going. I used to do the dagger one, where you would... if you backstab someone, you instantly turned into them.
Yeah, that's the best one to use with the Dead Ringer.
Yeah. Spy's a tricky class, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never used anything other than the medic in the heavy.
Yeah.
So, oh, the sniper. I use the sniper, but
sniper. That's another one I can never get down. But yeah, there's lots of different modes in Gary's mod. Another one I played was hide and seek. That was fun for a little bit. And there's even more than I'm listing here. There's so many modes, and actually, I'm liking it more than I have in the past. And still, with all this, it's super buggy. There's collision problems. I've seen people just get randomly stuck in walls. It's a commonplace thing for that to happen.
Right.
Because this is, you know, all user made, and of course maybe not tested as well, but you know, it's still pretty fun. I mean, you can pick this up on sale for like $250. Not cool. Bad. So what else we got? What other games?
Tyler hit me up to play some games. He was really asking me to play Orcs Must Die 2, and this is, I believe, a free game on Steam that you can just pick up and play, because
I don't think so.
It's on.
You played it off of my thing. Like, if I'm not home, it'll just show my games as your games.
No, it shows them below mine. It's on my list.
I might have convinced you to buy it back in the day.
Okay. Well, I don't know where I got it from, but yeah. I guess I got it. So I booted it up and was playing with him. The co-op mode on that is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Did we play that back in the day? We might have.
I don't remember.
I think Emilio and I played like...
The part one, I think. And yeah. Part two, we played a little very small co-op. About. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the first one. Second one seemed like too much of the good thing.
He and I were having a lot of fun with it. It seems to me like it would be a lot more fun co-op. It's like one of those games where...
Intended to play.
Yeah, you can like... It does funny things that you want to share. Like it's got the springboard that will launch guys into like
walls,
and out into space and stuff. The game is fun if you're playing it with people. I imagine as single player, it just wouldn't be as fun.
Basically, it's a tower defense game.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah, it's basically a tower defense with a guy that you can also control.
Right,
that can assist,
and you can spec it to either one.
Kind of like Sanctum and Sanctum 2.
Yeah,
but tower defense games are really fun. I've always enjoyed those. There's something about creating something and then watching it in action how effective it is. That's been really fun, and especially in Orcs Must Die, where it's just so animated, and you can do crazy things like springboard them into lava or spike traps, or even just slow them down in the tar and then roast them.
Yeah.
A lot of cool
The other thing I wanted to bring up with this was that they announced Orcs Must Die Unchained, which is, they are calling it a MOBA. It's a 5v5 Orcs Must Die setup with lane pushing elements to it. So I'm imagining it's set up like MOBA, but you do the tower defense portion of your area.
Right.
So instead of having towers keeping your lanes protected,
I wonder if the minions are going to be much, much more strong in this, and it's more based on the minions than it is fighting each other.
I'm not
since
sure.
It's a trap-based game, you know?
So
That'd be cool, though.
You can register for the alpha. You can buy Founders Packs, which will give you automatic access into the alpha right now, and it is available right now. If you get the Founders Pack, you can play it right now. I haven't done it. I'm not sure I'm so sold on the game that I'm going to pay $20 to just play the early access, but it's something that...
Speaking of Founders Pack, these things are getting ridiculous. There's the EverQuest one that's $99, which, whatever, you get early access into Next and to Landmark, which is already out. There's a new Warhammer 40K game.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a new 40K MMO, not the old one. There's a new one, I think, coming up. And the Founders Pack, the highest one, is like $400.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's people that will pay it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put the option out there, I guess, doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
The other thing that I haven't seen a lot on this, but with this Unchained, Orcs Must Die Unchained, they're touting it as also incorporating cards, somehow using cards in it. So there might be some gameplay elements outside of the actual
metagame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there might be something interesting there.
And that's what we're talking about. Like, maybe that's the part of it where you build something and then watch it play out, but you're also playing it. Maybe they're throwing too many things together, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, Orcs Must Die has a fun premise, so I could see the...
Uh-huh.
And the MOBA version of it being interesting.
I really enjoyed the first one. Second one, Yeah, like Bobby said, we tried it for an hour or two, and then I don't know.
Yeah, still a good game, though. Works great with the NVIDIA 3D Vision. And the main character always reminded me of Ash from
Evil Dead.
Yeah, totally based on that.
Well, and then two, they add
the chick
with the big tits. Yeah. And it's really cliche, but it's intended.
Reminds me of everyone. Ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every video game ever.
Yeah.
I watched some video from the developers on H1Z1. And there's been a lot of, it's been in the zeitgeist a lot, if you want to say that. You keep hearing H1Z1 or whatever. So
I have a lot of friends super hyped about this game.
And so I was like, okay, let me see what the fuss is about. So I'm watching the, early alpha. This is what the developer... And I couldn't believe how underwhelmed I was with... I don't see anything to be hyped about on this. Especially from what... Let me show you how this fucking video starts. The guy's like, hey guys, so I know... I'm here to show you what we couldn't show you at E3. Check this out. See all these trees right here? Any one of them I could just go up and chop down. It's the first thing he says with no irony. And he's like it's something new or novel, dude. Like, it's not the last 700 games that's coming out. So anyway.
Bob's excited about the tree.
It already started off, with that, and then I was like, okay, whatever, I'll just keep watching, clicking through. It looks exactly like DayZ, but maybe not quite as good, a little more cartoony. Maybe the graphics will be up considerably, hopefully they will be. It's not photorealistic, it's more cartoony. And you can do base building. So it's almost an exact cross between Rust and DayZ, from what I saw.
It's always been touted, I've heard, it's always been touted as an MMO.
Right.
And I always take MMO to mean thousands of players.
I don't know. There's no name for it. We keep coming back to this whole thing where what is an MMO like it is in Dark Souls? Thousands of people are playing it. There's a chance of you guys crossing. I think that's how this is going to be. You kind of bleed into each other's
servers. So limited interaction between players.
Right. But thousands of people are playing. So I don't know. The way he described it is, when you see somebody else, that's a very tense situation. So there's not going to be people walking around everywhere.
Tell you much.
Which is what's nice about Nether, is that you see everybody at the base where, it's a neutral zone. So it makes it a little more MMO-y. And then you can't leave, because people will just hunt you down as soon as you leave that place.
Yeah.
In a game like this, there's not going to be a common place for people to see each other. At least I don't think.
Yeah.
God, if Nether was a little more polished, that game would just be so awesome. Yeah. I think it actually is. I think I was a little too rough on it in our previous podcast.
It wasn't so awesome. Let's back that up.
I don't know.
And you had the easiest time with it, too. You had the least crashes and all that.
Yeah. But I'm telling you, the whole silent footstep thing was a deal breaker for me. But other than that, it did everything else right. It had the NPCs that you could team up and take down, like a really big boss with high loot. And it had more of a NPC element than most of these games. I think that's what they were missing.
It goes to show you, Nether say Nether.
Yeah. That's true.
It is.
H1Z1, I also heard, are trying to do some different things with the AI. I don't know if they're actually going to accomplish it.
What I saw, and of course, it's super early. The zombie ran up on him. He sidestepped and hit him in the head, and he was dead. So that's the most I saw out of it.
Okay.
Maybe they're talking about they can turn doorknobs in this game.
Do they have a release date scheduled for this, or is it still tentative?
It's in early access alpha right now.
Man, I almost want you guys to watch this video as unintentional comedy. This guy's so hyped up talking about shit. That's all fucked out, like old premises that we've been playing for the last 2 years. And he's like, and then you could do this? He's like, and then we put in a bow.
And that's okay with me. If they can do everything that's been done before and they can just do it right and polished and like actually a working condition, that'll be good enough for me, because everything else
true.
Is just like
falls
short.
Yeah.
Well, way to ruin my hype on H1Z1, because I was kind of looking forward to it, but now you shit all over my dreams.
What kind of business model do they have for this, or what price?
So this is an SOE title, so it's probably going to be free to play with microtransactions.
Really?
That's how they've been doing. That's been kind of their standard.
SOE.
their standard.
I would rather a $60 game.
SOE, right?
Yeah. I would rather a $60 game that's fucking good to go, you know? And maybe I'll buy your expansion pack when you come out with one.
That sounds exactly like what Bobby says.
Yeah.
Well, is that going to do it for games? I think that's all the games.
Yeah. So. It was a slow week for us.
I apologize. I've had my girls in town, so I haven't had a chance to play much this week.
Yeah. I'm supposed to be on vacation, and for some reason I'm just working right and left. But you know what? It almost enriches my gaming experience. When I spend a lot of time at work, then I come home and I have this time to game, limited time, then it makes it more valuable somehow.
Are you trying to justify
trying
not having time to game is a good thing?
But is anything going on in news?
I could just wrap it up with Steam over there. Steam sale, summer Steam sale hit their top player, active players of all time. It was 8 million players.
So concurrently, right?
Yeah, concurrent players. And it's growing, and that's always a good thing. If Steam is hitting the highest score or highest player base they've ever hit, that means everything's headed in the right direction, for sure. Yeah. After that, the Dota 2 championship hit $10 million, or it's really close to $10 million. Wow. I mean, you could just throw out this number. It's just like insane.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's starting this week.
I was told, I'm not sure if it was Dota or League of Legends, one of them had a $5 million first prize pool, which means $1 million per player for the winning team.
Damn.
I think it was League of Legends, though.
So there's this guy on Twitch. He's not a streamer. He's a fan. And he's been doling out big bucks, dude. He's like, nobody really knows what his name is or who he is. But his screen name is Amhai. And they think that he's like an oil tycoon or something like that. But he's giving away like $200,000 to guys. You know, he does 2,000 there, 5,000 here. And he watches World of Warcraft arena matches. Like, that's what he really enjoys.
Hmm.
And he paid one guy $50,000, just gave it to him. And it's just kind of cool thing that, you know, eventually this was going to happen.
Yeah.
A really rich dude was going to get into watching streams. So I thought it was really cool.
That is cool.
Couple interesting, and this week in Oculus.
Did you play any more Oculus?
No, but I think I might for this. Some guy made the South Park city.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so he can walk around all of South Park, and it's completely, there's no interactivity besides you walking down the streets. So I knew Bobby would be down for that. And what this other guy did was really interesting. So this is a big rig. He's running a computer in his backpack. He's got a harness that holds a camera a few feet and above him. And he's wearing an Oculus. And he's giving himself a third-person perspective. He's playing real life in third person. You know what I mean? So his only view is the view of the back of his head from the upward angle as you would a Tomb Raider or something.
Gotcha.
And he's when he turns his head, his perspective changes, just like in a game where you're moving the right stick. And he said it was like you see a lot more. But you can see his perspective. And you can, as far as like your periphery, you can see a lot more because you could almost see a little bit behind
you. Well, given the chance in any game, you almost always go with third person
over
the shoulder.
Yeah. First person looks the best, and then you because you want to see if you're getting attacked from behind.
Yeah.
And so that's what this thing
did.
Which
is more effective.
Yeah, yeah. It was pretty cool. I thought it was a cool experiment. I don't think they're going anywhere with it. It was just a thing that they did. And I think that is it. That's all I got for news. Oh, then there's a new CSGO game, or an expansion pack, it seems like. Oh,
Operation Breakout.
Yeah, which sounds like a herpes problem.
I was going to say, like, acne, but way to take it to the inappropriate level.
It's the acne downstairs.
Yeah.
So, and they're just reintroducing some old maps, and they have like 7 new ones. I know there's a lot of CSGO players out there, so check that out if you're into that. I'm sure you're all over it.
Awesome.
How about what we're playing? What's coming up? What are you guys looking forward to this week? Hopefully you're going to have some more time to play, Bobby.
Yeah, hopefully. I was disappointed that I didn't get to any Rayman Legends. but maybe I'll get to that this week. I got a friend coming in town this week too, and we usually play a lot of couch co-op, so I'm sure we'll be hitting up some random stuff. You know, a lot of times we cycle through a lot of games and then we find something that really sticks and then we play that through. So we'll
see. Is he a gamer, or is this going to be
he's a
test
gamer.
Of the girlfriend game?
No, he plays a lot of console games. But he has played PC games. He kind of went back and forth a little bit.
But, I mean, what's the difference when you're on a controller
on a couch,
right?
Controller on a couch, yeah, exactly.
There's no difference.
Yeah, but we'll see what happens with that. Also, I'm going to be continuing to play Full Mojo Rampage. Still trying to make this Monaco thing happen. It's just, it never, I don't know.
I got it now, so.
Bobby's MIA. I mean, Chad's MIA.
I won't be this week, though. I'll be back.
We've even had listeners that have contacted me about playing. I'm like, totally, you know, super excited, and then it just doesn't happen. So, like, something has to happen here. I want to complete that game.
Sorry if we're a little low level this week. This is literally the latest possible we could ever record a podcast. It's super late on Sunday night. But we
no alcohol.
This episode's going up in like 6 hours.
Yeah, and it's all about consistency. So we got together and we got it done.
How about you, Amanda? What are you going to play?
I have no plan. Oh, you know what? I want to get into Shadowrun.
Well, maybe you can help me then on Skyrim, because I was planning to play that this week.
Okay. And some new mod manager came out that's way better than the old one. I want to look into that as well. So,
Yeah, I would definitely recommend Shadowrun. That's a solid game.
Yeah. Especially after your Wasteland experience, you'll probably like it.
Yeah, for sure. Because I love that tactical RPG.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Appreciate it. You want to run your spiel?
Yeah, say a few words here. So again, check out dlgaming.net website. Be sure to follow us on Twitch, dlgaming, D-O-T-net. Steam group, too. Join the Steam group. DL Gaming is a Steam group. And, you know, don't be afraid to friend us on Steam. Hit us up if you want to play any games.
Yeah, we had a couple people send us comments on the Steam group this week. We really appreciate it. We appreciate your thoughts. Tell us how we can do better. We'll
just having an active forum and discussion with people is really cool.
We follow that stuff, guys. So if you have any thoughts at all, hit us up on the Steam group and we will read it for sure.
Yeah, and a quick word on that. Don't be afraid to start a discussion. There's actually, in the Steam group, there's an area for discussion. Yeah. So, you know, if you want to bring up a topic, do it in there and then we can, you know, have the discussion in there. I mean, the comment section works well, too.
Yeah, the comment section works well because everybody's... Yeah. But either way.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
Thanks.
Later.
Titties.